This is the Visual Developers Podcast with your hosts, Lacey Kessler, Matt Varghese, and Ben Parker. Interviews, no-code reviews, tutorials, and more, we're here to talk about all things no-code.
Hey, everybody. Ben here with Visual Dev FM, back with another episode, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Lacey and Matt.
Can we take the video recording of this and put it on Twitter?
I sent it to audio only, but no! 1 week I'm going to record the video and we'll share some of these moments.
And for you.
Lacey likes to make fun of Ben as he says the intro, and it's the most animated thing you've ever seen, but we've never been able to get it on tape. It's an urban legend.
Never been able like to get it on tape. Oh man.
It's like my voice is a TikTok sound and Lacey's making a video for it. She mocks me every open. It never fails.
We totally switched relevant analogies there. I said tape and you said TikTok.
I'm the old man of the group. What is happening? Well, this week we're going to be talking about the Coda Block Party, because you can't have enough Coda episodes on a No Code podcast. Like, it's just not possible. And today Coda had their Block Party where they talked about a bunch of new features and some new things coming to their, well, I guess we could call it now, platform, which I'm really excited about. So if you want to hear about what happened during the Block Party today, stick around. We're going to be having that conversation. But as always, we're going to start this episode with our no-code roundup and what's new in no-code. So let's get started. Lacey, do I get an award? There is no Webflow at the top of this list.
There's no Webflow on this list at all.
Did they not pay us this month?
Yep, you heard it here first. Leaked by our very own co-host. Webflow supposedly pays us. Lacey must be siphoning the money to her own account or something, because we've never seen that.
Yeah, I am. How else do you think I buy these little fancy seltzers?
So we start today's episode with a collaboration tool, Jam.dev, which was featured in Forbes. Did either of you check this tool out? It seems pretty amazing. It's not too different than tools that, Matt, I know you and I have both talked about and used in the past. Essentially allows you to take a website. You can then select the elements just like you're in the inspector. You can leave comments about them. And then, you know, as developers and collaborators, you go through and like check things off the list. Like, yeah, work back and forth. What are some of the tools that you've used to do this in the past?
Dude, we really aggressively use Pastel. We send out Pastel links to every essentially client, because I mean nowadays we're pretty much only doing Webflow, or I mean design and Webflow dev, and so Figma has that nice ability to just comment on a specific thing, and it's like just Figma commenting but brought to life in the browser. So Pastel is our go-to, but I don't mind switching if there's a good alternative. But yeah, looks sweet.
Jam is in beta and it looks really cool because it also, like, it talks to Slack, so as you're making comments, it will post to Slack. You can comment in the Slack thread. It pulls the Slack thread comments back into Jam. So, like, you can literally have that conversation outside if you want to, like, you know, pull in comments for somebody on your team who's not a part of that Jam board or doesn't need to open everything up. It's just, like, answering a question, like, what did we decide here? I can't remember. Are we using X? You know, they can respond. Boom. Pulls it right in. So it seems like a really, really, really neat tool. So if you want to sign up for the beta, there's a link in the show notes to go check it out.
I was going to say, so this reminds me, the very first website I ever worked on, are you mocking me now? Okay. I think, so it was like WordPress era when they had just released their content editing, like you could actually go on and not write code and edit your content. I have to close my eyes to talk because they're mocking me right now. But
okay, hold on. You are gaslighting yourself right now. Legitimately, I was reading an article. Definitely not paying attention to you, but I'm not mocking you.
Well, anyway,
we're a family here.
Yeah. I really wish this podcast was audio only so I didn't have to see these people all the time. well, Ben. I like to see Ben, but the other one can go away. So, as I was saying, when editing like your own content on your website was like a huge deal. It was brand new with WordPress, or that's where my first exposure was, rather. But to like tell our designer and dev what we wanted changed, we would literally print out the web page, circle and write on it, and scan it to them. Like, and I'm not that old, like I've been in tech for
ever. Oh, no, you are. We get it.
Look, I'm going to get your address. I'm going to drive to Oklahoma. I'm going to steal your dog and then break your kneecaps. Like, okay. That's what I'm going to do.
Cool. It just got real.
Just kidding. If anybody's listening, this is a joke. But it's so wild to me how this progression of how we are literally enabling everyone to have this collaborative process. And like, if you've ever done handoff between design and dev and revisions and marketing, and oh my gosh, it's so much. This is awesome. I'm super pumped.
Yeah, I really like this. I like the way the tool looks. I like some of the add-on interactions or integrations that they have that, you know, Pastel and some others don't have. So it's pretty cool. And like I said, link in the show notes if you want to go sign up for the beta and check it out. Postman, which is something we've talked about once or twice on this show, I think always in the no-code roundup or always in an aside to whatever the main topic is. And basically, Postman is this tool, this app, that puts an interface on the ability for you to make API calls. And so if you want to test API calls, you want to test API endpoints, we can use Postman. It's set up to help you do it. And if you want to get really fancy with Postman, you can write a little JavaScript, and it will save different things in your return. So you hit an API endpoint, it returns JSON. You can save different pieces out of that JSON to a variable that you use in the next call. You can chain those calls together. So I have mine set up to where I put in my bearer token for Webflow, and I hit one button, and it makes a call and gets the site ID, it gets the collections, and it gets all the items, and you know, it all. It's pretty nice. Have to have a little bit of, you know, coding chops to be able to do it. Well, they announced that they're working on a tool called Flows. It's now in beta. It's available on their web-only version of the app. And it kind of looks like Yahoo Pipes. I don't know, anybody use Yahoo Pipes on this podcast? Or am I the only person old enough to know what that is?
What is that?
Okay.
Yahoo Pipes? Well,
yes. Everybody Google Yahoo Pipes. Pause the podcast. Google Yahoo Pipes. But this allows you to build flows visually now. Instead of having to be able to write that JavaScript, you can have this drag and drop builder to build your flows where you're making these API calls and chaining them together. This is really cool. If you have not checked this out, or you're not using this, or if you've always wondered like, hey, how do I make all these API calls and test some of these endpoints and kind of get started in that world, Postman's a great tool. Link in the show notes if you want to go see what it's all about, but it's a blog post from one of their community members who kind of did a good write-up of what you can expect, how it works, made a really awesome video detailing it. So definitely go check it out. Mutiny is a no-code marketing website builder. Like, it builds marketing sites. Did either of you see this tool? Because it's...
I did. It looks like Instapage meets Copy.ai meets Clearbit in one tool. Because it doesn't look as powerful as like a Webflow per se, but it also, I don't think it's claiming to be that. It's claiming to be like, hey, let us help you convert more users, sell more, Which is like the underlying purpose of a website, but it has specific tools to help you get there. You can figure out where your visitors are coming from, which is like the Clearbit aspect. It'll help you write your copy, which is the copy.ai aspect. And then you can build your website without code. If you look at their landing page, that is like only one section, the no code part. So that's why I think it's like they're kind of approaching it as like, hey, we help you convert more, instead of, hey, we help you build a site without code.
It's and, without code. Oh, go ahead.
My bad. I was just going to say ClickUp uses them, apparently. So,
you know, and it is called, you know, in that section.
ClickUp has been a very interesting topic of discussion within our Visual Dev FM Slack and on Twitter, and just a lot of messages about it. So I just wanted to bring that back up of ClickUp is again entered the chat.
Was there a ClickUp conversation this week that I missed?
My God, there was a ClickUp conversation. But we'll cover that next week, because next week we have a whole episode because Ben lost his Twitter poll, which I will link in the show notes.
For all of you who voted yes, I'm angry at all of you.
For all of you who voted yes, I love you and I will give you an organ.
Well, I would just like to say right now, I said this before the podcast recording started. Having to talk about ClickUp is like torture to me, and I can't believe Matt, as a friend, is putting me through this. But we're going to do it. We're going to do it. So
Hang on. If he's giving an organ, do we get to pick which one?
Okay. This is not a legally binding contract, so get out
of here. So Matt can no longer talk on the podcast. Is that what you're saying, Lacey? Or... It's just a thumbs up. Anyway, back to Mutiny. I will say, like, bold claims here, because one of the things they say in the product hunt post is it helps you personalize the website to your traffic and convert 99% of the traffic that bounces. Those are like bold claims. Like, it's pretty impressive. But I did hear from some people who have used it who said it's pretty powerful. You know, like Matt said, it's not going to be as flexible as other builders. It's not going to give you quite the power as some of them have. But what it does really well. And if you're a marketer, this is definitely worth checking out. So link in the show notes. Definitely go give it a look.
Hang on. I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm not sorry, but like, okay, so this is a builder. It's not like a tool, like an add-on. So like you have to use their builder to use this tool.
That is correct.
Oh. Okay.
Lacey is out.
That was a pretty harsh take on someone's product.
And I hope you enjoyed our episode on Mutiny, where Lacey just said, I'm out.
I really don't mean a harsh take on it. I just, I feel like,
don't worry. We could, all you needed to say was.
I'm hesitant to say actually what I think.
We can edit this, so just say it. Like,
we're not editing. You have to, okay.
Why would I not just take their suggestions and go to my tool of choice and build it out there?
Because it happens on the fly for the user.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I don't have to look.
Okay, I missed that part. My bad. Okay, yeah. So this is like more dynamic content that's happening based off of origin and like some different things that are happening behind the scenes.
Well, I think a big thing to distinguish is like, there's kind of two types of no code, right? Like you have the Webflows, the Bubbles, the draft bits, where you really kind of have to know the basic underlying principles in order to build a performant and functioning website. But then you also have the Squarespaces, the Wixes, the Weeblies, that you don't have to know anything about how HTML, CSS, JS works. And so I don't think they're targeting the same markets, you know, like, the person who can get, like, is just using this for copy, that, like, they're not going to be using Mutiny. They're going to be using Copy AI and then putting it in their Webflow site. I think that's the most important distinction.
Then the next thing up on the list is Pixie Bricks. I don't know if either of you have given this one a look, but it's a low-code extension builder. So I think the whole point is it allows you to have an extension that helps you connect apps so you can interact with something on the page, then send that data to another app. It looked pretty interesting to me. And so this is one I did not get a chance to use yet or to take for a spin, but I am excited. I do have it on my list. And so link in the show notes if you want to check that out. Next thing up is probably going to be, I guess a lot of people have probably seen this, but there's somebody who made a tool called Webflow Git. And this is actually a pretty incredible tool. Essentially what it's doing is it's using GitHub to host workflows. You can copy the repository, you put in your own domain, and then essentially on a schedule, it's like a cron job. Every once in a while it goes and gets your site, all the files, all the pieces, all the CSS, all the JS, and then it shows you the diff between where it is now and where it was before. So if you're like, what happened? Something changed on my site. You can literally go see what styles were changed, what elements were changed. And this is something somebody built just based on their own frustrations with not having that in product. And so I think this is a pretty nifty little utility. I don't know. Matt, have you given this a spin yet?
I have not, but I did see it because you posted it in the Slack group. And I thought it was so fascinating because like a lot of, not a lot, but there's a handful of times in which you have to enter, you hand off a site to someone and then they break something and you have to do disaster recovery mode and figure out what went wrong, what changed, things like that. And that's what it sounds like this does really, really well. I'm sure we'll use it. I would not be surprised if this became part of like Webflow itself down the road, whether like in a year from now or 5 years from now. Like, it seems like a very important feature.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think it was made, let's give credit where credit's due, Jarek Lipsky. And there's also a link I just put in Slack, Matt, we probably should steal and throw into the show notes, that is a forum post that he made about this tool. So if you want to go read more, learn more about it, link in the show notes to check it out. But this is a pretty neat feature. And I love seeing more and more of the worlds of like code, no code, kind of combining there. So pretty neat. Definitely go check it out if you're a Webflow user. Actually, let's be honest, I don't think it's going to work with sites that aren't Webflow sites too. So, you know, whatever. Worth checking out. Rowy. Rowy unites Google Cloud with a spreadsheet front end for your Firestore data. This one has me pretty pumped up. I love working in spreadsheets. And if you've worked in Google Cloud at all, and you know how annoying it is working in some of those databases and handling your data, this is like somebody put an Airtable interface over Google Cloud. So real easy to set up your data and to build that data model out and manage your data in Firestore. And it's I like the marketing side a lot. So this is a really cool tool, and I cannot wait to give this a try. I have this on my list of things to like jump into this weekend. So link in the show notes if you'd like to give it a shot. It's pretty great. All right, we're going to spend some time here. Bravo Studio 3.0. It's here. They say the fastest mobile app building platform, period. I don't know if Lacey's got something to say about that. She's sneering at me on the video for saying that. But anyway, let's talk about things that they announced. Versioning. Multiple requests with the API, API wizards, the introduction of OneSignal, which allows you to send push notifications, OAuth2, maps, and you can also now use Adobe instead of Figma. So if you like, you know, using Adobe tools, you can use that to design now as well. So It's all pretty cool. I really loved what I've seen so far, and I can't wait to give this a shot.
Lacey is biased, so I'm not saying this to insult you. Don't participate in this. Ben, if you had to choose a mobile app platform to bet on in the next 5 years, which one would it be?
Whoa, you're really putting me on the spot.
It's like I'm not even sitting here.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's how I treat you every episode.
I was in on Bravo Studio pretty early, and I still am a pretty big believer. I really believe in the ability for you to empower designers, people who have no concept of what it's like to build, right? Like, and to really empower them, take these great designs. I love the flexibility. I think for a long time, one of the drawbacks to mobile app builders in the no-code space has been you can't really control what it looks like. It's like, hey, here's a header. You can change the color, and we let you select a different font. That's really not... It doesn't match my brand. And to, in Figma, be able to create this incredible look and then turn it into an app, I really like that a lot. So I'm a big believer in Bravo Studio. And so I'm pretty excited to give this a run. I love that you can connect to like all the data sources they have available. Like I said, Adobe XD, Figma, however you want to build, it's there. But I really feel like all of the app builders right now kind of, they each are filling their own, this own little niche, this own piece. You know, like Idalo has the whole component marketplace and pieces, which is really awesome. You know, Glide's whole thing is now sort of enterprise, pretty cool. DraftBit is for people who are really more in that pro space, you know, because it's a little more complicated to approach. But, you know. I still am a big fan of Bravo, and I was really happy to see them come out with like the next generation. So I don't know. What about you, Matt?
I think my bet's on Glide. Pretty simply put, the rate at which they iterate is okay. Yeah, get out of here, Lacey. if I could boot her from this podcast right now at this very recording, I would. Anyway,
from life, bro. Not even just this podcast. Like, I just want to push away.
Okay.
Okay, not really. I do love you and I hate you kind of way, but go ahead.
The rate at which Glide is iterating is ridiculous. And I feel like it's all moving in the right direction. And then probably a very close second is Bravo Studio, just because I really like them. And I believe that smart people that are also good people just inevitably figure things out and ship good products. So,
Lacey, which tool are you all in on?
Yeah, Lacey, just let me take a guess.
Go ahead. You know me so well.
No, go for it.
Well, this whole portion of the podcast is very rude and...
You deserve it.
Pissed off, and I'm going to speak to both of your bosses about this, okay. Which would be me. I am super excited about Bravo Studio. Like, I think we all kind of take the same stance of, like, yes, two-thirds of this podcast, the better two-thirds, do work for some of these companies that get mentioned. But I think it's just exciting to be in the space and like we want to cheer on other people and other platforms. And I think that that's why we have the best no code podcast. But it is really exciting to see this. Like I talk with makers and people in the no code space a lot about what they're looking for in an app builder. And Bravo, like, nailed a lot of those things that people have a lot of questions about and a lot of they're wanting. So I'm super excited for them. Obviously, I am partial to Idalo. I'm really excited for us to start releasing some really awesome things we've been working on. But this is excellent. I also do love Glide. I was on a, that was Matt, by the way. I was doing a workshop, and David, the CEO from Glide, was on this workshop as well. And he was saying that, like, Glide is really cool. Like, they're, like, obviously happy that they have the maker, like, startup economy on there. But they're focused on, like, work. Like, definitely, like, apps for work. And I'm just curious, like, how that resonates with the community. Like, for the maker types, they're not... they're definitely not excluding, but that's not their focus. And so, whereas like Adalo, it's different. Like, we are definitely very heavily focused on startups and makers. And anyway, if you ever have thoughts about that, I'd love to chat, or you can find me on Twitter, but please, God, don't DM me. I can't with the DMs anymore. I'm so behind.
Same. I feel bad. No, I like it. I'm pretty excited about this this update, and I want to just say kudos to their team and huge props. I'm pretty excited for them. And so, link in the show notes if you want to go check it out, the landing page for 3.0, and see all the pieces that go along with it. I was sent a link this week about the app Reform. I don't know if anybody's using Reform. I never have, but it's not Typeform. So I'm pretty excited about
the things you hate so hard. we will be talking about something completely different, and you will always, if we're talking about forms, even if we're not talking about type form, you will bring it in. You will call it out by name. If we're talking about productivity, you will bring in ClickUp. Have a problem.
I apologize to everybody who listened. Mason did say that this podcast was like the WWE version of podcasts. So there you go. But no, I really like this. So some things that I really liked. They do have single and multi-page forms. They, you know, looks like they really work with your branding. It is no code. The one thing that's like last on their list, I would probably put first on my list, is accessible by default. Building accessible forms is really difficult and hard. It's not easy. And so I love seeing this. And so the one thing that I will note about these, they've got to be pretty good. And I've seen some people talk about like how they're using them, but the pricing's pretty steep, I think, compared to other form tools. So maybe I'm wrong, but definitely worth checking out. So if you're looking for a form tool, Reform, link in the show notes, go give it a look. I love it when people build on top of no-code tools. And I saw this week Airtable Invoice Maker and airtableinvoicemaker.com. It's essentially a tool for Airtable. Someone created an Airtable app where you can generate quotes and invoices right out of Airtable. How awesome is that? And so definitely worth checking out. Link in the show notes if you want to go give it a look. Love their landing page, though. It's really great. And if you like using Airtable, I think Airtable is a great tool, then worth looking at. Wycode had two updates. The first is they let you build using Tailwind CSS. This is interesting. So you can literally add Tailwind CSS styles to your elements right in Wycode. If you haven't used Tailwind CSS or you haven't looked at Tailwind components, it's incredible. I urge you to buy it. It is really great stuff. Definitely go check it out. But they added that ability, and they also add more breakpoints. So like one of the things that they talked about before coming out of beta was wanting to make sure they had more breakpoints. And if you look at the screenshot in the tweet with the link in the show notes, it literally has breakpoints. It's like mentions iPhone SE, iPhone 13, iPhone 6, 7, 8, iPhone 13, iPhone 6, 7, 8 Plus, Samsung Galaxy. So they've got all these different devices in there. And I think it's different from Webflow in as much as like Webflow has its fewer breakpoints, but you can, you know, work with fluidity and hit different device sizes, where this looks like it's breakpoints for different devices. So definitely worth checking out. Link in the show notes if you'd like to go give that a look. All right, here's your big chance, everybody. If you want to do some freelancing or some work for Zapier, they're looking for a TikTok creator. So if you listen to this podcast and you think I could do better, you probably could. And if you want to give that a shot, Zapier is looking for people to make content. And so definitely go check that out. Link in the show notes. Seems like a fun job. I'm really jealous. I just don't have the ability to make TikToks. No one cares.
Ben, are you on TikTok?
I love TikTok. I'm not making TikToks. There's a difference. I like looking at dogs and listening to musicians. Like, that's, you know, that's...
I wish we could have...
Like,
I wish we could have sports, group chat.
You're getting my TikToks. No. I send you TikToks Lacey's, now.
Yes, and I love it. Lacey sent me one this past week that was hilarious.
Lacey just sends religious TikToks to me.
Matt, damn it. We do not talk about TikToks. We do not talk about text. We do not talk about what happens in Slack.
You violated the code.
I didn't say what it was. I didn't say whether you were pro-religion or anti-religion.
Type of content. It's not funny unless you...
God. We're so disappointed
nothing.
In
we
you,
can
Matt.
We say nothing in front of you.
Right. Aaron Kornblit released a new video this week for Airtable's YouTube that is how to use colors in Airtable. This was really good. These videos that he's making are short. They're pretty impactful, and I love the content. So definitely check it out. Link in the show notes. Now, this we had a disagreement about in the old Visual Dev FM Slack, and I think I'm going to go ahead and admit I was wrong. I thought we had talked about this before, but Glide has pages now? What? And if you click on the link in the show notes, it's a documentation that's an introduction to pages. They do have a note. Pages is still being developed, so there are parts of this guide that may become out of date quickly. And we'll continue to update this documentation. But you can create a new project, an app or a page, and so you can create a website for content and data that's public by default. And so Glide is just like, hey, we're not just making apps, we're making sites. And since they're targeting the enterprise, I'm assuming these are mostly going to be intranet things or things just specific for companies. I don't know. If you know, we'd love to hear. Tweet us about it if you've been using it or given it a shot. Matt, Lacey, thoughts on this one?
My only thought is that I saw this in a Facebook group. And it really surprised me, and I want to know more, so I need to go play with it. But I'm curious, like, where are they going? What's their direction here? So super happy for them, but I want to see more.
Glide, WYD, what are you doing? Like, we'd love to know. We actually need to get somebody from Glide to come on the podcast and talk to us about some of the stuff they're doing. That needs to happen. Anyway. Link in the show notes if you want to go check it out. And finally, last thing on the list is our episode topic of today, Coda. Coda making some big announcements at their block party today. And I just want to say, of the three people in this room, I'm the cool one because I was at the block party and they were not. So we'll just start there, first of all.
I was at work.
Oh, Christ. If you're listening to this, the people I work for, I was working while I was listening. I promise. No, it was a great event. I want to first give props to their team for putting together it was like very well organized event. They had great people there, and it was a lot of fun. They did some pretty fun things. They used Hopin, which it feels like everybody is using now for their events. But if you look at the schedule and speakers, it was like, what a cast. They had Ariana Huffington, who was there. Reid Hoffman was there. And they talked about new things. So let's cover what's new and what they talked about. So if you've used Coda in the past, they are working on a new, what they call a new editor. And so in the past, you've noticed that, like, as you write in the doc, everything just stacks vertically. There's no real ability to put things side by side. And a lot of people would use layouts and really twist things and work way around to kind of set something next to something else. Or you'd have to, like, really work hard to malformed tables to get data, like where you want it, because you're trying to make a dashboard or do something cool, and you just can't get things where you want them. Now they have the ability to drag things into columns, which is really neat to be able to organize those pieces. I think that's really awesome. They also added some new mind-blowing formulas. They cleaned up some of their older formulas, making them more powerful. And then, you know, like concatenate, they did some work there, especially when it comes to pulling data out of tables. And then I think what I really like about it is they've added some new pieces too. And one of the things that I think I've been waiting for is what they call the canvas column in Coda. So what is a canvas column? Canvas column is the ability to add a column to your table. And when you click into it, it's essentially its own page. And they had this long text before in tables where you could expand that row and you could write, but you can only write text. You can only, you know, put bullets on there. You couldn't put any objects in there. Now it opens up. It's sort of like Notion in the way that Notion, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to link this to a page. Well, this is like its own thing there. You can open the canvas. You can put in tables, documents. You can collab in there, see what other people are writing. All the different pieces that you would do, you could put in a page. You can put there. You can track things into columns in them, which makes things a lot more repeatable and possible. Like for us, we keep all of our show notes and our episode work in Visual Dev FM and Coda, and we create a subpage for every new episode. Now we'll be able to just have a table and literally click into that last column, expand it, see all our show notes, all our details, and really have full doc comments, inline objects, all those different pieces that you couldn't do before in Coda, which I'm pretty pumped about. I think that's really cool. And I think what really gives us power is like when you think about like web pages, Coda gives you the ability to publish docs. And now like you can build these really great looking docs where you can drag things next to each other, arrange them. You have columns, images. You talk about really awesome, like awesome looking docs that you can share with the world. If you're not somebody who can build a site, you could literally build your own site in Coda, which is pretty awesome. I'm pretty pumped about that whole piece. And I think too, like for people who are like one of the things I saw today, a use case, if you're scheduling content, you have a content calendar before you have to link once again to a bunch of sub pages. You have 200 pages in a doc. Now, literally with that canvas column, you can have it all in that row. I'm pretty excited about that. And so they showed off a lot of those pieces, and it was really good. I really enjoyed like seeing those things and seeing those changes. Now, the other pieces that they added, we'll start here. They added a maker fund, and I don't know if you two saw this in the Slack when I posted it. I'm pretty sure you don't check the Slack, but like times a week.
I saw the Slack, and it's like $1 million fund, right?
Yes. Oh my God, you actually read something. I can't believe it. Like,
okay, Mr. Reading Comp. Okay, get out of here.
I only say that because Matt made a really mean joke earlier today and hurt my feelings. So
that's on par for me.
So I felt like, well,
why'd you hurt his feelings?
Oh, no. This is the I hurt yours too in the process. Don't worry.
Oh.
So they did announce they're investing $1 million in makers. And if you're an expert at building Coda docs or a developer who, you know, gets excited about building things, you can pitch Coda on an idea and get money to build it, which I love. We did talk about Notion doing this. Coda's doing this now. I think it's pretty awesome to see this happen. And then I think last thing, and then we can start having some conversations about this, is they announced what I think is the biggest piece, which is the software development kit for people. So they have Coda packs, and I think if you look at Coda, I make jokes about Notion all the time. Notion's a powerful tool, don't get me wrong. I think it's a good platform. Notion really just released their API, and they're kind of getting started on that work. Coda's had that for a while, and they've had these packs where you can integrate with other pieces. They've now added the ability for you to build your own pack. So one of the things that they talked about today was, you know, there's a lot of requests for packs. People have like this long list of, can I get a pack for this or that or the other? So now they're just going to get out of everybody's way and give you the ability to build your own packs to interact with the tools. And you'll have a marketplace. You'll be able to publish it for everybody to use, or you can use it privately. So if you want to build internally for your own tools, I have signed up for the beta because I was hoping we could add content to a table, send it to our Webflow site, and also to our podcast host all at once, and make my life a little bit easier. We could do that with some other tools too, but I'm going to explore some possibilities there. But that was kind of the big summation of what they talked about today. New editor, the pack software development kit, and Maker Fund. Those were the big things that they hit. As far as new about the product. Thoughts from Matt about that?
Before we recorded the episode, you said Coda came for everyone. Can you elaborate on this? Were they really aggressive? Like, did they call out companies?
No. I'm just thinking with the product changes. I feel like I said, they're steps ahead of Notion. Notion's just now getting their API rolling. Coda's already letting you build on their platform with a software development kit. Not that you couldn't do some stuff with a Notion API, but this really opens that up, right? Where people can you can sell this and add it to, you know, to whatever. So for everybody else to add to their docs and their workspaces. So it's pretty cool. I think between the ability that like easing the ability to drag and arrange components and really make it look like what you want. And then two, I think some of the formulas, like I've tried to do some very simple things like with tables, and I find myself writing these formulas that are like a mile long to pull data out of tables to display it on the canvas. And they've kind of cleaned a lot of that up to make it like people kept saying like this should be easier. They made it easier. And so I think just really making things more approachable, easier to work with, easier to configure, people being able to build, giving people more choices. And then, you know, that Maker Fund, I think it's pretty neat. And it gives them a huge advantage. I feel like everybody else is chasing Coda in the doc space right now, in my opinion, like when it comes to feature set. So
bold statement, but I
don't think that's bold. I think it's true.
But you are the biggest Coda fan I've ever met in my entire life.
That might be true. But like, so you do have Google add-ons, right? So you have Google, but Google Docs are completely inadequate and they don't have like the flexibility.
Where does Dropbox
that
paper?
Coda has?
What rank doc tools?
Rank doc tools?
Yeah.
Ooh. Man. By the way, Kyle from Webflow had a great tweet about Dropbox paper and Google Docs this week. I'll try to find that and put the link in the show notes. If I was linking doc tools, I would put Coda number one. Are we talking about note-taking tools too, or are we talking about like app platforms?
Let's do like literal note-taking. Like I want to store my thoughts or any notes.
I have Coda number one. I use IA Writer number two.
What was number two?
IA Writer. It's a
tool
that lets you write Markdown and it syncs back and forth.
Okay. Was not expecting whatever's. That one.
I love that tool. I can take the Markdown and then literally copy and paste it into Coda once I'm done writing. If I want to write on my iPad Pro or whatever, it's a really slick experience. Some people are using Obsidian. I don't know. So that's there. I would put next probably Google Docs.
You put Google Docs above Notion?
I've got Coda. What do I need Notion for now?
Coda then goes down the list. I'm not. No.
You're asking for my ranking.
In each of these situations, though, it's mutually exclusive. It's not like, oh, I'm using Coda, then IA Writer. It's like
you asked for my ranking. If we're ranking platforms, Notion, I mean, you could put Notion a distant second, Coda third. I just don't think there – or Google Docs third. I don't think there's anything that touches Coda at that level. Like if you're really finding like the power in it and using Coda for all it's worth, like I just think it's untouchable. You can – like it's so funny. People that – even at work I come across things that I'm working with people – outside of work, and they're like, I've got this doc and this spreadsheet and this thing, and I'm like, I just want to fix your life and put it all in code. This could all live in one place and be so much more powerful. Why are we doing it this way? This is painful. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. So But that those are the big things that happened today. The fourth thing that is not product related at all that they did, I thought was really cool. So they had some, as far as like product announcements, they had booths like where you could go in and talk to people who work at Coda. Like you could talk to them about things you're dealing with or like, you know, get some support. They were chatting about some things that they do, some docs that they've created, some things in the marketplace. But then they really talked about how do people work? Like what are the core principles that goes into like writing docs and working asynchronously and really being effective as a company? And they talked about how they use Coda at Coda, and it was great, great stuff. I mean, one of my favorite doc templates is called Two-Way Writing, and it's like their template for two-way writing at Coda, like how they work asynchronously, and they do these things that are just kind of – they talked about how they're built into their core at this point. Like if you write a doc, you're at the bottom of it, you're going to have – you're going to use a slash command that lets you – put a button that people can mark it that they've read, right? Like you get to that point, you click the button, it's like you can now see a list of everybody who's read this doc, which is really cool. I think that's super powerful. Like one of the things that I always do going into a meeting or I always experience going into a meeting is like people will like, we'll put a pre-read in a Google Calendar link and then you get in there and everybody's like, who's read the document? And you know, it's like half the people have, half the people haven't. Some, you know, you don't know who has or what have you, like being able to kind of see, like coming into it, who's read what. And then they talked about other tools they use, like the ability to, you know, one of the things that we use is up as voting tables. So like we'll have a document, we'll comment all in it. At the bottom, it'll have a voting table. Yes, we approve this as a group. No, we don't approve this as a group. There's a third option, fourth option, and we'll vote as a team about whether we're going to ship something or what actions we're going to take. So they do something similar. And then they take sentiment about the idea, and they've really tried to take the bias out of it. So it's the sentiment tool. Like you basically like slash, put in a command, it pops it up. And then everybody can vote like one star to five stars, one frowny face to smiley face. How do they feel about it? But you do it without seeing everybody else's response. And then once you responded, you can kind of click a button and you can see what everybody else said. So it kind of takes that bias out. And then they use these prompts at the bottom, this table at the bottom, to kind of get prompts, questions about like what, like if we're going to talk about this now going into a meeting, what are the questions we need to be asking ourselves? And so just hearing how they work and how they've really streamlined that process, I thought that was just as powerful as the product announcements. There's some of that stuff that we do at Webflow. There's some of that stuff that I do personally, but it was really fun seeing how they approach their work. So it was a great, great event, and I really enjoyed it. So I don't know. Takes from Matt and Matt after me talking up Coda for a little bit.
I literally think you have covered everything about Coda to ever exist.
It's not true. We could do another 10 episodes.
Oh, no. No, thank you. We have ClickUp to catch up on, which is equally as powerful and equally as cool.
No, not true.
Y'all are going to have to buy me drinks if we
can. You know, you can kindly leave this podcast.
I own just as much as you do. Thank you.
Here's the thing.
Sit the next one out.
We talk about this all the time. You start coding the website you want to build, and I'll build it in Webflow, and we'll see who gets in a better state quicker. I'll take the same challenge in a project management or any doc piece. I can do it in Coda quicker than you can do it in ClickUp, and it'll be easier for people to navigate, and it will be more effective. That's just, it's not even, it's like hands down.
I won't take the challenge.
You want to hate Coda, but you really do like it. Deep down inside, you like Coda.
I think Coda has, just like from a, look, I said this word for word today in a call with a new employee. I said, ClickUp docs are the worst docs I've ever seen. But other than that, ClickUp's incredible. The docs are just like, Coda has ClickUp beat on docs any day of the week. But that's it.
That's right.
That's it. Not project management.
They are one and the same, sir. That's what makes Coda great.
No, dude.
You can build whatever you want in Coda.
Deep down, you know I'm right about the project management software, because you even said it to Mason on Twitter when Mason was like, look, it's not great, but it is the best of the project management tools. And you responded, don't bring logic into this conversation or whatever.
No, like, listen, I think there's a space for everything, right? Like, there are certain size companies where certain tools make sense. If you were asking me if I had to pick a product management tool, I would never voluntarily pick ClickUp.
Okay. Well, next week we'll change your mind.
But, yeah, no, you will not.
We absolutely will.
No, it's not possible. I'm telling you right now, I'm forever out on ClickUp. And I'll tell you all why next week if you join in for the episode.
Just for recap. Ben really thought he could tweet a poll and ask people if they'd be interested in a ClickUp episode, and then people would vote no. And that's how next week's episode was decided. Ben losing his own poll. So,
but we did have somebody beg for Lacey to be in charge of creating episodes because of the poll. So, like, you know, that's pretty vocal. I also had a few people who messaged me and said they voted yes just to spite me. And so, like...
Well, okay, so, I hate to admit this, but I'm going to do it. I voted yes, which means I sided with Matt, and it was an accident.
No, it wasn't.
And then I was like, crap, I can't undo it. And I literally thought about going and creating another Twitter account just to vote again and counteract that vote. But I have kids and don't have
You got to cleanse your karma. You got to cleanse your ClickUp karma. And
don't worry, you know, Visual Dev FM also voted on that poll.
I knew it.
We need to take back control of the Twitter away from that.
I also tweeted from that account for people to vote yes. So
yeah, I saw
it. May have been a little rigged poll, but Ben lost.
Biased? Yeah. Well. Anyway, next week we'll talk about ClickUp. We'll hear about the ins and outs. But this week, today there are a lot of people talking about the CODA block party. We didn't want to miss the opportunity. There was a lot of really new things that came out of that. So to highlight, new editor and a lot of new features, more accessible on some of those older formulas, some new formulas to go with it, PAC software developments, and the Maker Fund that came out of that. Pretty cool. Lacey, you're talking, but you're muted. So, like,
thank God, stay there. I saw it, but I wasn't going to tell her.
We really do need to take his Twitter login away for the Visual Dev FM podcast Twitter, because this. I don't even know what you are to me right now. This.
Say it. Use your words.
This I'm trying. Jackal. Stop looking at me. Yes. Said, please say yes, my family is dying to get people to vote. Not only did it not get a single comment or retweet or like, people probably think that this Twitter account is drunk right now. And what?
It probably was when it tweeted. So,
what do you think? I'm day drinking? Who do you think I am? Lacey?
Whatever. I really wish I could. My anxiety wouldn't let me. But sometimes I think about it.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate you tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Definitely go give CODA a look. Link in the show notes for access to the betas. We'll add those in so you can go apply to be a part of the betas and try out these new features and give them a go, see what you think. We'll be looking forward to hearing your thoughts about it. And you can go in there and make a poll about whether or not you think Lacey is funny. And
yes, everyone. Yes.
And so anyway, appreciate you listening. Hope you all have a great weekend. We'll catch you next time. Bye, everybody.
Deuce. I hate you.
Deuce.
Thank Thanks for listening to visualdev.fm. You can find us on your favorite social media platform at visualdevfm.